Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the all-new Opel Crossland. Beauty isn't scared of life.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
The release of the Britney Spears documentary last week got us thinking about the real stories behind our entertainers as told in music documentaries and biopics. Of course, not all are as political as that one, but the colourful lives of touring musicians certainly make for a great backdrop for some compelling stories. Well, I'm joined by Simon Marr for some of his top picks in music documentaries that are available for streaming. Good morning, Simon.
Hi, Claire. How are you?
I'm good. We're going to start with one that has quite a bit in common with the Britney documentary. It's the really sad story and short life of Amy Winehouse. It's called Simply Amy. Let's have a listen to something from that documentary now.
Amy, just give us a smile and then we can turn the camera off.
Do you promise?
She had such an emotional relationship to music.
You're becoming an artist in the public eye.
The more people see of me, the more they'll realise that all I'm good for is making music.
And the Grammy goes to Amy Winehouse.
She was one of the truest artists I ever heard.
The world wanted a piece of her.
Amy was a girl that just wanted to be loved.
I fell in love with someone who I would have died for.
And that's like a real drug, isn't it?
This is someone who is trying to disappear.
Just reminds you, Simon, how brilliant Amy Winehouse was, and the documentary is fabulous too.
It is. It's amazing. And what's great about it, and what's, I suppose, the key to any really good documentary is access. And they had access. So Asif Kapadia, you mentioned a couple of weeks ago when you were talking about the Senna documentary and Diego Maradona, also had access to friends, family, and everybody who's around Amy Winehouse during her tragically short life and particularly short career. And that's what is put together so well. And you really get inside the story of what's going on. It's not like an awful lot of, you know, I used to watch the old VH1 Inside the Music documentaries, you know, 20 years ago. But and all they had was a couple of newspaper clippings and a photograph and some guy from a magazine. But what they managed to do, particularly in a documentary like Amy, was that access, and you really get the story. And it becomes something very intimate, very special then.
Now, the next one you're recommending is an Irish story, the 90s Dublin Rockers, Lear. Now, before we chat about this, let's listen to the members of the band talking about life on the road and what it was like.
I think there were a couple of physical fights, yeah. But we were all just like, you know, pissed off with the situation.
Touring in America without proper tour support, playing small venues, driving long distances, is a bitch. It's a lot of hard work and it's a lot of stress. And especially when you don't have enough money to feed the people who are on tour, it's very difficult.
Now, there were high hopes for this band, Simon. They never really reached the dizzying heights.
No, they never did. And it's one of those, as you watch the documentary, you'll see how close they came so many times. They played a big gig in the Marquee in New York. A whole load of A&R men were there. They eventually got signed. They played gigs in London. They played these famous gigs in the Baggin' Inn where every A&R man in the world turned up. But they never really got there. And it started off with such hope and such great dreams. They went, they did the slog, but it was never happening for them. And as time goes on, and even as you watch the documentary, you see the hope starting to slip away. And when you see the anger and the disappointment start to get in, it's a heartbreaking story, but it's a great one and it's really, really well told.
Okay, now the Amy one, I should say, is on Amazon Prime. Where can we see this one?
You can watch Good Cake, Bad Cake, which is the story of Lear. You can watch it on YouTube. It's free on YouTube.
Okay, so that's accessible for everybody. Now, one that you're calling your own personal favourite of all time is the one about Anvil.
Anvil. This documentary makes me cry every time I watch it, right? And I think even more so now because of the delicate times that we're in. But Anvil, the documentary of Anvil starts off with them on stage, the mid-1980s. It's pure hair metal, lots of curly hair, lots of leather involved, and triangle-shaped guitars, and they're going to be the biggest band in the world, and then they're not. And then you cut to the members of Anvil 20, 25 years later, and the lead singer of the band is delivering food in Toronto in a bad van, and it's really snowy, but they still believe that they're going to make the breakthrough. They still believe that rock and roll will see them through. And it is absolutely heartbreaking because you see so many bands with massive egos, you know, who do go and they do go on to make it. And then there's people you're watching and you're watching the guys, particularly it's the lead singer and the drummer from Anvil, and it absolutely will break your heart. But it's such a great rock and roll story again.
So they believe that they were really good. I don't know whether they were really good or not. You might tell us.
Oh, they were.
But they just spend all of their money on fancy producers and promoters.
Yeah, and they went, I think everybody thought that there was an inevitable next big step for them. And their next big step was going to be global domination. They were going to be up there with Motorhead and Metallica and all of the huge metal bands of that sort of mid-80s and into the 90s metal scene. And it just never happens for them. And they're going, and they're doing like Lear, they're going and they're playing in tiny venues. There's a particularly poignant scene where they're playing for Lips, who's the front man. They're playing for his 50th birthday party. And you can see it's in a venue that's like the size of a small cafe, you know, and you think, while other bands are playing massive great stadiums with the San Francisco Symphonic Orchestra, but they still have that belief 30, 40 years later, that they'll get there. Okay. It's only a matter of time.
So your favourite, Anvil, is available to stream on Netflix and documentary Heaven. Amazon has one about Metallica.
Yeah, so Metallica are almost like the anti-Anvil. So around about at the exact same time, and everything was going great for them, they really, really took off. But within that band, and the thing that makes a great rock and roll documentary, is that there are huge egos involved. Like monster egos involved, and the big power play that exists within rock and roll bands between the various members, because everybody thinks it's the lead singer is the leader of the band. In Metallica, it's all about the politics between them. The bass player quits. There's huge riots between lead singer and drummer, and it almost looks like something out of Spinal Tap. If you didn't know that this was a documentary, you would think they've got to be making this stuff up. They really have to be. But they're not. It's real and it's brilliant.
Now, I want to talk about something that's slightly different. This is a concert movie, the genre, and gig goers are getting their fix from these things now, watching streamed concerts. What would you recommend, Simon?
I think there's Beyoncé's, you can't really go far beyond Beyoncé's if you want to start off on this. So her Coachella experience, or Beychella as it became, in 2018. She was supposed to headline Coachella in 2017, but she was pregnant with her twins, and then she worked her way back to headline Coachella then in 2018 and made a documentary about it called Homecoming. And what's great about this one is that it is completely her. She directed it, she produced it, she was responsible for all of it, but she's responsible for the show as well. Mm-hmm. So as well as just being a concert, because a lot of concert movies, they're not the same, because you don't get the value out of it because you're not there. So there has to be something else to it. And the background story to her Coachella shows is something, again, it's something to behold.
Okay, well, we have a clip of Beyoncé from that documentary talking about returning to the stage after giving birth to her twins.
It's my first time back home on the stage after giving birth. I'm creating my own homecoming. And it's hard. There were days that I thought, you know, I'd never be the same. I'd never be the same physically. My strength and endurance would never be the same.
Between Soul Cycle and coming in here, you losing like 1,500, 2,000
calories. Yeah, it's true. And eventually, I want to be able to Soul Cycle, the stairs, and rehearse in a day.
Okay, lit. I'll be right there with you.
And you know, a lot of the choreography is about feeling. So it's not as technical. It's your own personality that brings it to life. And that's hard when you don't feel like yourself.
That's Beyoncé there from Homecoming, which is still up on Netflix. I saw her live. I think it was the best gig I have ever been to. She is an absolute superstar. Well, everyone knows that, but just to see her in action, she's extraordinary. Now, the biopic, Simon, Johnny Cash and June Carter, the story of their life together and the lead up to their romance and their various careers on the way along, Walk the Line. Did you like that movie?
Yeah. I did. And this is interesting because when you hop kind of from documentary to biopic and suddenly it's a dramatization, you know, probably what helps sort of music biopics is that an awful lot of the time they're full of drama anyway. There isn't necessarily much that's mundane that's going on. But in the life of Johnny Cash and June Carter Cash, it's a great story already. So you've got the work, you've got the stuff to go on with. But when they casted Joaquin Phoenix then as Johnny Cash, that was an inspired choice. But for me, it's Reese Witherspoon as June Carter is the making of this movie, because it takes it from being just a very good sort of music biopic or a, you know, any sort of a story like that. It takes it into something much more personal. It takes it into just it being a story about family and love and all of those other things that are backed up by the music, and that the redemptive power of music, but really the redemptive power of music and the people that you bring into it.
Simon, you've given us something to watch over the weekend. Thank you very much indeed for chatting to us.
Thank you.
That's Simon Marr there. Now, coming up after the break, we'll speak to Dr. Maura Finn, and we're talking about the warning signs of cancer and what you need to look out for. Thank you so much for all of your questions. Any more, get them into us, 51551.
Today with Claiborne. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player app.